Good morning. Good morning. We're welcome this morning to Columbiana Methodist Church. If you're visiting, we welcome you. And for those that are watching online this morning, we welcome you also. If you are watching online, you can go to our website, columbiaunitedmethodist.org, and you can find out some different activities we are doing here at the church, and you can also give online if you're at home watching this morning. Just some reminders that February the 11th is the Rich Griffin Memorial Breakfast, so you can see Jim Walk for tickets for that, or you can contact the information with the email that's listed on the flyer, on the door or on the back there, and you can tell them how many tickets you need. I believe it's $5 a ticket. Also, don't forget that same weekend, we're having the newlywed game with our Love Fest potluck luncheon, so we hope that you will join us for that, that you'll stay afterwards as we come together and worship together and go downstairs and kind of go into Valentine's. We can have some fun together, eating together and having some fun with newlyweds, the newlywed game. I will tell you that the one couple, and this is the only couple I will tell you that will be a part of the newlywed game, and that is Melody and myself will be one of the couples. So if you want to come and see how horrible I am at remembering things, you want to come to the newlywed game. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it'll be fun just to be able to be part of that. And two other mystery couples at this time that you have to come and stay to find out who they are. But it'll be a lot of fun as we do that. And Bob Nonamacher will be emceeing things. Don't forget that in the back and at the Welcome Center, there are handouts for the calendar of events for the year, as well as different information pieces. Pocono Plateau brochures in the back also. Also, just want to remind you that on the whiteboard in the front of the church by the Welcome Center, there still is a sign up for the life group that we'll be having at the parsonage on the book of Luke, talking about the disciples being outcast. And I think there's a few spots remaining for that. That'll be Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. So if you would like to be a part of that, you can go ahead and sign up for that. Also, just a note about life groups. We had talked about how they could be sermon-based life groups, but I also put a sheet out there on the board at the Welcome Center and at the Credenza about different ideas of what your life groups could be. They could be anything under the sun. They could be a book club, a dinner club, a knitting club. It could be a sporting club of some sort if you like to do something, an activity. They're all considered life groups, just a way to connect outside of this building on a Sunday morning. So I don't want you to think, well, I'm not really, you know, thinking that, you know, sitting down and doing sermon-based groups is for me, but you can have any type of life group you can imagine under the sun. Any interest you have and you get together with other people outside of the church during the week can be considered a life group. So I encourage you to be thinking creatively about what is it that interests you, what do you like to do, and maybe who could be a part of that. With the different ideas that are out there. So I want to encourage you just to prayerfully think about that and just to be creative outside the box, because a life group doesn't have to be, you know, a sit-down Bible study type of thing. It's the purpose of these life groups is to get to know each other outside of Sunday morning, pray for each other, encourage each other, and to build relationships with each other, a way to stay connected throughout the week. So please take that sheet home with you. Think about how you might be able to have a life group with something that you're interested in, something that you might enjoy doing, can be considered a life group. Just also want to note that next Sunday is communion. So we would like to welcome you back next Sunday for communion. And we also will have a infant baptism next Sunday. So we welcome you to be a part of the first way of starting off the month of February with communion and an infant baptism as we celebrate God's grace and God's mercy as we begin the month of February next week. So this time, I just also want to be lifting up those that are not here this morning. Audrey Poff is still recovering from her fall that she had last week, so please keep hearing your thoughts and prayers. Also, we want to be thinking about Vicki Knight. For those that were not aware or did not get the email, that Vicki is an LGH in the intensive care unit. She fell on Friday, and the reason for that was because she had a lot of fluid on her brain, and so they had to do a procedure on Friday night to start draining some of that fluid, and right now they've taken about 140 milliliters of fluid from her brain. So please be thinking about her and praying for her, praying for Jamie and the entire family as She continues to recover from that procedure she had as they continue to drain fluid from the brain. So this morning as we come together, let us just stand together and let us begin our time of worship. God, we are here in your house. We are here in your presence. And we come now and we lift our hearts to you now, God, that you be pleased with our worship. And so, God, here we are. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us worship together this morning.
Amen. Please stand and joyfully sing together. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, we come before you now, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with us this morning as we come to your throne. We ask, God, that you would be pleased with our worship as we give you thanks and praise for all you've done for us. As we come and we are reminded all we have is because of you. So, Lord, help us to not forget what you have done for us, the love you have for us, the grace you had for us. Help us not forget that no matter how rocky the road is, that you are there and you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you are walking right beside us. We come this morning and ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon the offering that has been collected, that it would continue to go and build your kingdom here in Columbia. And we come, Lord, and we want to be thinking about Audrey this morning as she's still recovering from her fall, that you would continue to heal her and that you would continue to strengthen her, to bring her back with us. We pray for Vicky, Lord, as she's recovering from her procedure she had, Lord, and that we ask that the brain would continue to heal properly and that you would continue to be with the doctors and nurses as they treat her, God, that your healing touch would be upon her, God, and fall upon her, Lord, and that you would allow your healing touch just to be with her. We pray, God, for Jamie and for the entire family, Lord, as they continue just to kind of go in and see the progress that's going on. And some days it seems like, is it something that is going to change or not? And Lord, so we know you're a God that changes things. And so God, in the midst of circumstances that look bleak, we know that there is a way. And when there is no way, you make a way. And so God, we come before you and we lift Vicky and the family up to you, Lord. We lift others up to you that are not here today because of sickness and illness, that you would be with them, others who are traveling. And so God, we also want to be thinking about those watching online right now, any requests that they might have and anything they might be struggling with, that you would be with them also this morning, Lord, and that you would give them peace, Lord. So Lord, we come before you now and we give you ourselves as a living sacrifice. We put ourselves today before you and say, here I am, God, I am yours. All I have, all I am, is yours. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it's easy to praise the Lord when we're all feeling like we're on that mountaintop and things are going great and we're feeling blessed. But it's more of a challenge, isn't it, to praise the Lord when we're going through a difficult time? You just want to be by yourself. Stay secluded. But in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 it says, through Jesus let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, meaning that even when life is tough, that we're still to lift up our worship and praise to him, and he will make a way when there seems to be no way. So sing with us as we sing, blessed be your name. And that's a choice. We're making a choice to bless his name this morning.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name, Lord. That's why we're here today. Even during those trials and tribulations, we still come and we still bless you, God, because you are with us and you are there with us, picking us up and carrying us. And Lord, we choose to bless you this morning. We choose to come before you with a song of praise and say, God, even in the midst of whatever is going on in our life right now, we will bless your name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to be wrapping up our sermon series on Proverbs, as well as the sermon series tying in with that, staying on the path or continuing on our direction. Over the last few weeks, we have learned that our direction determines our destination, that where we are headed will determine where we end up. We've learned that we shouldn't trust our hearts or our emotions, but that we should trust God and we should walk by faith and not by sight. That we also need to choose a story that we're going to tell about our lives and about our church. We need to learn to seek wise counsel, and not just seek wise counsel, but apply that to our lives. And then last week, we talked about how our attention determines our direction. That what we focus on and what we give our attention to will determine our direction, which will determine where we ultimately end up in life and as a church. So what happens when you are trying your best to stay on that path that God has called us to do, but yet in the trying to do that, you have said, it's just too unachievable. I just don't think God can do it. I don't think God can do something new in me or in this church. And I just think it's unrealistic. I think it's unachievable. I think what Pastor Tom wants for us is just unrealistic and unachievable. I think what God wants for me in my personal life is just unrealistic and unachievable. And then we find ourselves with no hope. And we say that no matter how hard I try, that destination is just unreachable, so why bother anyway? And we begin to lose hope. We begin to throw in the towel, and we begin to say, it doesn't matter, because we'll never get there anyway. Max Licato tells a story of a woman who had a parakeet, and she named this parakeet Chippy. Now, Chippy was a parakeet that constantly chirped and chirped and always chirped a happy song all day long, and it made the woman happy, and Chippy brought joy to this woman because Chippy would chirp and chirp and chirp and bring joy to her. Well, one day, the lady decided that she needed to clean Chippy's cage, and so she took the vacuum cleaner and she stuck in the bottom of the cage and she began to vacuum the cage out, and her phone rang. And of course, she did what all of us would do. We went to grab to see who was calling, but in the midst of that, she forgot to take the vacuum cleaner out of the bird cage. Lo and behold, you heard this bloop, bloop, and well, Chippy was no longer in the bird cage. When the woman realized this, she threw her phone down and turned the vacuum cleaner off, and she opened the vacuum cleaner up, and she began to tear open the vacuum bag, and there was Chippy. Chippy was still alive. Chippy was covered in dirt, dust, and so she was trying to make sure that Chippy could go back the way Chippy was, so she takes Chippy over to the kitchen sink and turns the faucet on. She sticks Chippy under the kitchen sink to get all that dirt and dust off, and well, the more she tried, the more horrible Chippy looked. It just kept getting worse and worse. So she said, you know what? I guess I could just try to maybe make sure he dries out. So she takes Chippy up to the bathroom. She gets her blow dryer out and turns it on high and starts air drying and blow drying Chippy like she was drying her hair. And she finally said, well, all right, Chippy, I guess you look kind of good enough and kind of look like you were before. And she stuck Chippy back in the cage. And they went about their business. Well, the friend that she was on the phone with called back a few days later and said, so how is Chippy? And the lady said, well, Chippy just kind of stares into space in his cage now. Chippy doesn't chirp too much anymore. You see, sometimes in life, we can be like Chippy, can't we? We're all excited, we're chirping a good song, we're just going about our way, and we're getting a little bounce in our step. We're excited about what the future holds, we're excited about what God wants to do with us, and then all of a sudden, as we're going, then we get sucked into the vacuum cleaner known as life, and we go, this is a little bit harder than what I thought it was going to be. The more challenges that lie ahead, I don't know if I want to put the time and effort into things. I don't know if it's worth it, and I don't know if things are going to turn out the way I hope they turn out. I don't know if God's going to do what God wants to do, and then we come out of the vacuum cleaner bag, we're all dusty, we're all dingy, we try to clean ourselves off, and we're like Chippy, we don't have a chirp anymore because we've lost our hope. We stop singing and chirping that song of faith and saying that we believe that God will do what he says that he will do. And we just begin to stare out in space in our cages of life like Chippy does. Because things didn't go as smoothly as we hoped they would go. And instead of relying on God and trusting on God, we lose that song of joy and hope and we just give up and we become disappointed. Vince Lombardi, the famed coach of the Green Bay Packers, said, "We didn't lose. We just ran out of time." You see, that's a perspective of life, isn't it? You can look at life as winning or losing, or you can say, you know what? I gave the best effort I could give, and I just ran out of time with the time that I had. How are we using the time that God has given to us? Are we looking at it as a win-lose situation? Or are we saying that no matter what, I will do what I can do and I will make the most of every effort and every time that God has given me on this earth to make a difference for him? Because the clock is always ticking, folks. There's no timeouts in life like there is in football where you can kind of gather yourself around and take a pause from things, get a little drink of Gatorade, and all of a sudden get back in the huddle and then resume playing again. No, the clock keeps ticking in life. There are no timeouts. We have pain. We have aches. We have regrets. We have challenges that we will face in life. But how do we handle those things? We can lose hope and just throw in the towel. And when we lose hope, we give up, then we begin to get heartsick. We lose our joy. And we begin to get heartsick and say, you know what? I don't even want to go to church anymore because I just don't have that joy anymore. I don't want to do my devotions anymore because I just don't have that joy anymore. I don't want to pray because I don't have that joy anymore. And we get heartsick and we get so set on our failures and the disappointments and those challenges that we feel are just so fierce that we can't overcome them that we just get heartsick and we've lost the joy of our salvation. Going, wow, what I thought was something we could do is now I think impossible, and there's no way to ever achieve it. We can either give up and quit, or we can continue to press toward the prize. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing filled is a tree of life." Hope deferred. Why bother? It doesn't matter. It makes the heart sick. It gives us knots in our stomach. We don't feel good. It causes other issues, health issues, and other things because we've lost hope. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life, meaning if we hold on to hope, if we hold on to God's promises, if we keep the faith and we continue on, then we will see that we get to our destination. Our heart gets sick, we ache, we lose hope because we feel like nothing's going to ever change and things are too big to overcome. Think about Joseph for a minute in the Old Testament. Remember when Joseph told his father and brothers that he had this wonderful dream that he was going to rule over them? You remember what happened to Joseph? His brothers put him in a pit, sold him for slavery to Egypt, gave that wonderful coat of many colors and put blood on it from an animal and gave it to their dad and said, sorry, Joseph's dead. And now Joseph goes out to Egypt into slavery. Joseph's dream that he had about being a ruler had died, it seemed like. Joseph faced many challenges while he was in that pit and while he was on his way to Egypt. Joseph's destination didn't look like he was going to reach it. How about Daniel? Daniel was about the same age as Joseph when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and Daniel found himself chained to other Israelites, drugged by hundreds of Israelites into another land as they were put into captivity. Imagine how Daniel must have felt leaving his homeland, leaving everything behind, knowing that he was going to a land where they didn't worship the one true God. Imagine what Daniel's heart must have been like when all of a sudden it looked like that everything he was on the road for, the direction he was headed, then all of a sudden it looked like his destination wasn't going to turn out so well either. How about Paul, the apostle? Paul found himself what we call some type of physical disease, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. It could have been a handicap. Some thought that when he got up to preach that he had a speech impediment, and that might have been what it was. Some think it might have been an ailment in his knees. I mean, back in that day, you didn't have Ubers and you didn't have cars. You had to walk wherever you went. And so some think it was an ailment physically in his legs where he wasn't able to walk or to stand as good as the other individuals. Or that maybe it was even poor eyesight that he had a hard time seeing. We don't know what it was, but imagine Paul. God, you saved me. You called me to go and preach the gospel, but yet you're making me deal with this physical ailment in my life? God, if you love me, why? I chose you, and I can see my destination, he said. You called me to go preach the gospel, and I'm going to preach the gospel to the Greeks, God, but yet why am I dealing and struggling with this physical ailment? All of a sudden, Paul's destination and where God had called him to go looked a little bleak and looked a little dreary for him. God, how can I preach the gospel? How can I do what you called me to do if I got this physical ailment? Paul says, in each of these cases with Joseph, with Daniel, and with Paul, their hearts were sick. But how about Jesus? The night before he was crucified, he was in that garden. He prayed, Father, if there's any way that we can do this without me having down the cross, please let me know. That Jesus was anguished about it, and he sweat drops of blood because Jesus knew the destination he was going to, and as he got closer to it, it began to look bleak, and he began to say, God, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to get to that destination. It's just a little too hard. I don't know if I can do it. And he begins to wrestle with God in the garden, and he was heartsick as well. What do we do when we're heartsick? What do we do when we all of a sudden see that where we wanted to go looks like it might not happen, or where we want to go, there's challenges that lie ahead and we're not sure if we're going to get there? What do we do when we're heartsick? How do we handle that? Do we get bitter and angry? Imagine if Joseph would have been bitter and angry, or Daniel, or Paul, or even Jesus himself getting bitter or angry, or did he say, in all those situations, that I will look for the good in them and how you're working so that in the way to these challenges and overcoming these obstacles, that when I get to my final destination, that I'll have a story to tell about God's grace and God's mercy. 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 12, Paul tells us, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surprisingly great revelations, there was given to me this thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, whatever it is, we're not sure again, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. Paul pleaded with God three times. It's too much. Take it away, take it away, take it away. But Paul says that it was given to him whatever it was. Whether it was bad eyesight, whether it was poor speech, whether it was bad knees, whatever it was. That was given to him so that he can rely on God's grace and not say, look what I did. Follow me, Paul, the apostle. Instead of saying, no, follow God. As I am being used by God to point you to him. That Paul had some amazing things happen to him. There were some really high highs in his life, some really low lows in his life. And just imagine that physical ailment that every morning when he woke up, he was reminded, yep, it's still there. Hasn't gone anywhere. But Paul chose to not be bitter or angry, and he chose to use that to point others to God's grace. You see, when we lose hope, we feel like the challenge is too big and we don't want to continue on the destination that God has called us to because we say we can't do it. And that's why we must pray, folks. That's why we must go before God and say, God, give me the strength needed to carry on. That's why in the garden, Jesus was talking to his heavenly Father and praying, Lord, is there another way? Father, help me. That he went to God in prayer to get the strength to carry on to that destination that God has called him to do. 2 Corinthians 12 again, Paul says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. No matter what challenges you're facing right now as individuals, no matter what challenges we might face as a church, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power will be made perfect through that weakness. You see, we have to rely on God and not on ourselves. But it's not just enough to pray. We need to hear God's voice. We need to listen to God. We need to empty ourselves to God. We need to pour ourselves out to him. We need to cry out to him. We need to be like Paul and say, God, why are you doing this? God, what's going on? God, take it away. It's okay, folks, to ask God to take things away. It's okay to do that. It doesn't mean God will remove whatever those obstacles or challenges are to our final destination, but it's okay to ask God to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. And God once again points us and says, you know what? Trust in me because my grace is sufficient, no matter what it might be. Reminding us that no matter what we face, he is there for us. Think of Joseph who prayed and listened to God's voice when he was in prison and he interpreted the dreams. Think of Daniel who listened to God's voice when he was told, if you bow down and you pray to God, you're going to be fed to the lions. But Daniel continued to pray and listen to God's voice. That when he was thrown in that lion's den, that he curled up right next to one of them, put his head down, and he had a nice big furry blanket to lay on that night. And as a result, the king was converted. And they began to worship God because Daniel not only prayed, but he listened to God's voice. And as a result of him relying on God's grace being sufficient for him, a nation was turned to God. Think about it. We are here today because of Jesus in the garden. We are here that night in the garden when Jesus was struggling. Is there another way that he listened to God's voice? And God reminded him, my son, my grace is sufficient for you. Each of these individuals, Joseph, Daniel, Paul, Jesus, they all faced difficult situations in which they had a choice to give up, lose hope, throw in the towel, or continue on. They had a choice to be angry, to be bitter, to focus on their trials and tribulations, but instead they looked to God and said, okay, God, your grace is sufficient, and something good is going to come down the road. Romans 8:28 tells us, for we know that all things that God works for the good of those who love him. That even in bad circumstances or bad challenges or things we might face, that God can find good and use that to grow his kingdom here on earth. We can give up, lose hope when things don't go our way. We can give up and lose hope when things get tough. We can only stay with things in the good times when things are great, just like the song we sang. I'll bless you in the good, but when the bad comes, I'm not blessing you, God. No way, Jose, not happening. No, I will bless you even in the trials and the tribulations and the challenges. As individuals, God has called us on a journey to go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of his world. That's what we're called to do. It's a tough mission, folks. It's a tough mission of our church to come together, to connect others to Christ and to each other, because there are going to be people who don't want to come along with us. There are going to be people who don't want to know Christ. There are going to be people who don't want to even be a part of this thing we call Christianity. There are going to be challenges when it comes to finding people to get involved, to help in the church. There are going to be financial challenges that we're going to face as a church to continue to do what we're doing as a church. But God has said you're on a mission, and your destination, what you're called to do until your last breath, is to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ, connecting them to myself, God, and connecting them to each other, that we might continue that process of multiplication. You know, we face many challenges as a church. We already know that. We don't know where our denomination is going to be in a couple of years. We think we have an idea, but we're not sure. That's a challenge that we face as a church. How do you make decisions for the long term when you're not sure exactly where you're going to be at with the denomination in a couple of years? We have financial challenges. How are we going to continue to keep going? We have challenges when it comes to looking for volunteers. We have challenges when it comes to trying new things in the church, because we don't like change, and so we like the way things are, and we don't like to kind of step out and try new things. Those are all challenges we face that we give up right now and throw in the towel and say, you know what, let's just kind of do what we're doing. Just come to church on Sunday morning. We're not sure what's going to happen in the denomination, so you know what? Let's not do anything. Let's just stay put. Let's not make any decisions about how we're going to grow this church. We're going to face financial challenges, so you know what? Let's not do anything differently at all. Let's just wait till the doors close, and then when they close, we'll just move on and go from there. Well, you know, we could also say, well, I don't want to try a new thing, so let's just keep things are the way they are, and we'll see what happens and where the church goes. Well, somebody else will serve, or somebody else will volunteer, and then all of a sudden, the programs we have disappear because nobody wants to help anymore. We can do that. We can say all those obstacles are too much for us. There's too much going against us. Or we can say those are things that God can work through, where his grace is sufficient, in which he will continue to provide for us to get to the destination he's called us to here at Columbia Methodist Church. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, walking by that faith and not by sight. We can give up now and throw in the towel and say, you know what, Pastor, no matter what we do, it's hopeless, it's not going to make a difference, so why even bother, Pastor? Let's just stop right now. We already know where our church is going to end up, so why are we even trying, Pastor? Well, do we really know that? Do we know even where this year is going to take us and what God is going to do in us and through us? We have no idea. You see, that's when hope gets lost, is we say, why bother? Why try? We already know those obstacles. They're insurmountable, so why even bother? Then we close the door, allowing God to work, allowing God to shape us and mold us, to do great and mighty things through us. You see, we can allow our mission of this church to direct us, the core values of this church to direct us, in which we have a plan to continue to move the church forward, and trusting in God that God will take those core values and that God will take the mission of our church and that God will provide for us and that God will grow this church. But we have to do our part, folks. We have to be hopeful people. We have to be optimistic people. We have to be positive people. We have to look and say, you know what? There's nothing too big that God cannot do, folks. Think about this year and what you would like to see this church do this year. And I challenge you to go before God and ask God to see it happen. God, this is what I would like to see happen in my church this year. And believe it and boldly believe it and see what God will do. Don't half-heartedly do it. Because that's what God says, your prayer is not sincere to me. But boldly go before God and say, God, this is what I want to see my church do this year. And see what God does. Paul says, therefore, I will boast that all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power might rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. That's why, as individuals and as a church, that we should say, yes, we got some challenges. We got some things that are going on. But you know what? We should look at them and say, I delight in them. Because I know what God's going to do, and in the midst of them, when we are weak, it is God who makes us strong. But we are the ones who have a choice to make. We are the ones that have to respond to God's call in our life, seeing that God uses the challenges for His glory, by giving our time, our talent, our gifts, and our service, that even the littlest thing we give that God can use for His glory. When Jesus was facing that moment in the garden, He said in Matthew, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. That is how we stay on our road to where God has called us to as a church and as individuals. Not mine, but your will, God. The second time Jesus prayed in the garden, He said, my Father, if it's not possible, again, may your will be done, Father. Two times Jesus says, are you sure? Is there a different way? And if not, God, then your will be done. In the midst of hardship that lied ahead for Him, okay, God, your grace is sufficient. Your will be done. And He accepted the challenge. And as a result, we are here because of forgiveness, because of what Christ did on the cross for us, because God's grace was sufficient. Proverbs 13:12 again says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Imagine how Jesus' heart must have felt that night in the garden. Imagine when He was being arrested, how His heart must have felt. Imagine here was an individual who was fully man and fully God and knew everything that was about to happen. But He didn't give up. He stayed the course. And He relied on God's grace so that you and I could be forgiven. Our hope is deferred because we get distracted and we want to take the easy road, the road that gives us quick results. And when that doesn't happen, then we say, forget it, it's not worth it. We lose hope because we don't want to put in the time and the energy. We lose hope because we focus on all the things that could go wrong. And we talk about all the things that could go wrong instead of things that could go right instead. We always focus on the negative instead of the positive. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we give up. And we throw in the towel. Jesus said in Matthew 16:33, in this world we'll have a lot of trouble. We'll have a lot of trouble. You know what? God leaves us with a thorn in the flesh. All of us. We all have our own thorn in the flesh. You know what yours is. I know what mine is. And God leaves us with those thorn in the fleshes so that we are relying on Him and His grace and mercy and always trusting in Him no matter how hard it gets. That God wants to bless us, wants us to experience joy. He knows that we need hope. He knows as individuals we need hope. He knows as a church we need hope, and He knows this world needs hope. And that is why God says, my grace is sufficient, because I am the only one who can provide that hope for you. Think about the Israelites who wandered for 40 years because they disobeyed God. 40 years later, they got into the promised land. They still had unto hope. When Joshua was told, all right, Joshua, go take a man as you cross the Jordan. I want you to take 12 stones. So Jordan comes up. Joshua gathers all the people from the Jordan and says, our dream, our destination is still there. God's going to take us to it. So let's go, folks. We're going to cross that river, and we're going to get to that promised land in the midst of everything we've been facing. You see, there always is a promised land, no matter how hard it might seem. To get to our destination, there's always a promised land. We cannot lose hope. We cannot give up. We must continue on. There was a man who was the only survivor of a shipwreck, and he ended up washing up on a deserted island, and he prayed to God each day, God, please rescue me. Please send a boat or a helicopter or something by to rescue me. And every day he would look to the horizon and say, well, God, where is the boat? Where is the plane? Where is the helicopter? And he began to say, okay, well, maybe it's not going to come. He was exhausted. And so he decided, you know, maybe I guess I'm going to be here a while. So he built a little shelter. Filled a shelter, and a couple days later, he got up and he went looking for food on that deserted island. And when he came back, he found that little shelter being burned up in flames. The man had had it. Really, God? Really? You strand me on an island, you don't answer my prayer for help, and now you burn down my shelter, God? Really, God? The man was bitter. He was angry. He said, God, you know what? You really don't care about me, do you, God? Because look at what you're doing to me right now. He said, I'm just going to be stuck here until I die. The next morning, as he laid there on the shoreline, he was woken to the horn of a ship. And he began to look out, and that ship was getting closer to him. And it came to the island, and people got off and said, hey, we're here to rescue you. The man looked at the captain and said, Captain, how in the heck did you find me? And the captain said, we saw your smoke signals that were you're sending up the night before. And that led us to where you were at so that you could be rescued. How many times in life are we like that man where we think everything is going wrong? Our shack, our house is up in a fire, and we say, all right, God, fine, what do you got now for me? What's next? And we get frustrated, and we get angry with God, and God says, oh, yeah, but that was a smoke signal so that you can actually get the help that you needed to be rescued so that I could carry you through those challenges. As we continue this year, 2023, I want to encourage you to join the mission of our church of connecting people to Christ and to each other. Overcoming the challenges that we might face so that we can see God's grace abound. Stepping out of our comfort zone, getting involved with something new, whatever that might be. Maybe it's coming up with a new ministry idea that had never been thought of before, and you might think it's like totally bizarre and that nobody will ever think that's a good thing to do. Maybe it's something totally out of the box that's never been done before. Maybe it's looking at just getting together and doing a life group, whatever that life group might look like. Maybe it's looking at our giving and how we might be able to increase that a little bit. Maybe it's visiting a homebound member. There are lots of things we can do this year to continue forward to our destination, which God has called us to do. The choice is up to us. The question is, what do you want your destination to be? Where do you want this church's destination to be? It takes all of us working together and relying on God's grace together, fulfilling the vision that we exist here at Columbia Methodist Church to connect people to Christ and to each other by growing in our faith and by making disciples of Christ for the transformation of our community. That's our destination, folks. Connecting people to Christ and each other by growing in our faith and by making disciples of Christ for the transformation of our community. Will you join me on this journey together as we continue on that destination that God has called us, relying on His grace, saying, we will get there.
Please stand.
about the 12 disciples. They spent time with Jesus, but yet they didn't get it. And when Jesus left, they didn't know what to do when he was crucified. They hid. They were scared. What do we do now? Where do we go? We can't do it. That Jesus has called us this mission, but how can we do it? And then Jesus appears to them again after the resurrection and says, I give you the power of the Holy Spirit, my comforter. And they still didn't get it. And then they said, well, how are we going to do this if you're not with us, Jesus? He says, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And he ascends to heaven. And then the apostles take something they perceive impossible to do. And they grow the church of Jesus Christ. So much so that we are here today. Because the apostles looked at this destination where Jesus wanted them to go and said, there's no way, Jesus. It's not going to happen. Who, us? The 12 of us? Yeah, right. Oh, by the way, did you not notice, Jesus? We're down one now, too, so it's not 12, it's 11. And Jesus says, keep your eyes on me. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you and guide you, and God will do amazing things. This morning, we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit because, yes, we are like those disciples. That's what you want me to do, God? That's just not going to happen. It's no way. It's too big. But yet, with all things, God is possible. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, while other ground is sinking sand. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.